Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, July 28, 2023. Global rights groups call on South Sudanese lawmakers to limit the powers of national security.
The agency has exerted its authority without meaningful judicial or legislative oversight. Its agents are rarely punished or called to account for these abuses. And the government has expressly shown its lack of political will to address these widespread practices.
And an analyst warns that Sudan's conflict has devastating potential for both the country and the region.
This is a conflict that affects every corner of the country. It affects every tribe, group, ethnicity, socioeconomic class of the country, and every major city throughout the country. It is really a far more devastating and comprehensive conflict than anything that we've really witnessed in Sudan's modern history.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Global rights groups are calling on South Sudan's National Parliament to revise the National Security Service Amendment Bill to end the agency's arbitrary arrest and other abusive practices. A spokesperson for South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly says lawmakers are reviewing the law. Deng Gai Deng has the details for VOA Fombor.
In a joint statement published yesterday, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch urged South Sudan Parliament to revise the law governing the National Security Service. Moses Segun, the Africa Director at Human Rights Watch, says Parliament should ensure the pending National Security Service Amendment limits the security service powers and strengthens oversight of the agency's activities.
The agency has exerted its authority without meaningful judicial or legislative oversight. Its agents are rarely punished or called to account for these abuses. And the government has expressly shown its lack of political will to address these widespread practices, and the abuses have left many victims with long-term physical and mental health conditions without remedy or compensation from the authorities.
Segun says current National Security Service Act of 2014 gives the agency broad and unqualified powers that allow it to commit serious abuses with impunity, sustaining a climate of repression and fear. She says while the amendment process continues, the South Sudan government should order the closure of all unauthorized detention sites operated by the National Security Service and release detainees or hand them over to legitimate law enforcement officials for charge and fair trial.
The authorities should also disclose the whereabouts, status and condition of some of the detainees like Maurice Awik Jiok, a refugee transferred from Kenya to South Sudan in early March. He is reportedly being held incommunicado at the NSS's Blue House detention facility.
Sarah Jackson, Amnesty International Deputy Regional Director for East Africa, the Horn of Africa and the Great Lakes region, says for meaningful reform of the security service, the new law must be accompanied by measures to hold officers, including senior officials, accountable for past and ongoing rights abuses.
The NSS Amendment Bill currently before Parliament includes a number of positive provisions, including greater respect for human rights, prohibiting detention by the NSS, making sexual harassment a criminal offence, and empowering courts to inspect suspected places of detention. But there are several areas that still require further work, and we're concerned that the amendment bill still has vague and broad provisions that would allow the agency to have unqualified powers in certain areas.
John Agan, chairperson of Parliament's Information Committee, who also serves as the National Legislative Assembly's spokesperson, says lawmakers are already working on tweaking the bill.
The National Security Bill has been tabled about 3 weeks ago to the National Legislature for the first reading stage. It has only been suspended because of the national budget that is now being scrutinized and deliberated. Then the Right Honorable Speaker Jemanu Nkumba has already referred it to the committee concerned that is the Committee of National Security and Public Order, to scrutinize it and then table it as soon as the budget finished for the second reading stage.
Information Minister and Government Spokesman Michael McQuay says South Sudan will not take orders from outside groups.
We are a sovereign state and our laws are our laws. We cannot be dictated by any other person to tell us that he wants our law to be amended. No. If they want the law to be amended, then they contact the government and we talk it over with them, not to call upon the parliament. The parliament does not initiate amendment of any law without the interest.
Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, as well as other rights organizations, say the country's National Security Service broad powers have contributed to shrinking the civic space. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Intelligence assessments say Sudan's Rapid Support Forces, or RSF paramilitary, has the resources and skill to sustain its conflict against the Sudanese army for years to come. The fighting, now in its fourth month, has concentrated in Khartoum and the western region of Darfur. It has killed more than 3,900 people and displaced more than 3.3 million. Darren Taylor reports.
The conflict's been the most intense in the capital, Khartoum, and in the western Darfur region. 20 years ago, many current Rapid Support Force fighters, including leader Mohamed Hemeti Dagalo, were members of Arab militias known as the Janjaweed, which terrorized Darfur. Their task, says former United States intelligence analyst Cameron Hudson, was to wipe out Sudanese of African ethnicity for then-ruler Omar al-Bashir.
They became responsible for what we would consider to be the most kind of gruesome aspects of the killing in Darfur. Because they were on the ground, because they were coming in on horseback and camelback, they were carrying out the rapes. They were carrying out the person-to-person killing, the destroying of villages and of water points, the destruction of livestock, the looting, all of these kind of very personal crimes.
Hudson was speaking during a recent Atlantic Council webinar. The International Criminal Court indicted al-Bashir and others for genocide in Darfur, but they haven't been prosecuted. Al-Bashir was overthrown in 2019 and remains in the custody of the Sudanese army. Hudson says with so many conflicts unresolved in Sudan, it's fertile ground for the present fighting to expand into a full-blown civil war and possibly a regional war.
As this fighting has gone on, we have seen new factions emerge. Arab tribes from Darfur, we're seeing opposition groups from the Nuba Mountains begin to take opportunities available to them to strike. This is a conflict that affects every corner of the country. It affects every tribe, group, ethnicity, socioeconomic class of the country, and every major city throughout the country. It is really a far more devastating and comprehensive conflict than anything that we've really witnessed in Sudan's modern history.
The RSF fought as mercenaries in Libya and Yemen, building a cash reserve that allowed it to go on mass recruitment drives. Hudson says it's getting the upper hand in Khartoum because regular reinforcements are coming in from Darfur.
It's really, I think, the appeal of the Rapid Support Forces right now and its leader, General Dagalo Hemeti. This idea that for so long these peripheral areas have been marginalized and that they are going to bring this violence that has always plagued the peripheral communities. They're going to bring it to the capital. They're going to bring it to the elites of the country, and they are going to make them feel some measure of what these other communities have been feeling for decades now.
VOA tried repeatedly to get reaction from the RSF to Hudson's comments, but their spokesman never responded. Several attempts by Saudi Arabia, the United States, the African Union, and other parties to negotiate lasting ceasefires in Sudan have failed, and talks have been stalled for weeks. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Still on the impact of the violence in Sudan, unaccompanied minors among Sudanese refugees sheltering at a camp in South Sudan say life is tough without their parents and other loved ones. An official with the group running Gorom refugee camp says unaccompanied minors have been identified and assigned caretakers. Manyang David Mayar has the report for VOA from Bor.
a 15-year-old Sudanese refugee who we are identifying by his first name only, Mahmoud, because he's a minor, fled the war in Sudan with a group of people he found on the way. Mahmoud says when the gun battle erupted in Al-Fashir in Darfur, his parents were in town.
They were shooting heavy weapons. People started to run to different directions. I find myself alone. Later, I found some people coming to South Sudan. I just followed them. I came without any money. They supported me to come here.
Mahmoud says he constantly wonders about the whereabouts of his family members. Since arriving at the camp, he says life has been difficult.
There is no food and we are just pushing life. Right now, I am thinking about how to get my parents. Up to now, I have not heard about them. I have not found my mother and all the others. Recently, a Red Cross official came here and I heard that my brother is in Khartoum.
16-year-old refugee Mohammed says he too was separated from his parents when the fighting erupted in Nyala, Sudan. Mohammed says the sound of heavy artillery forced him to flee by himself.
There was a lot of fighting and shooting and so many things. People started to run to different directions, leaving their homes to the bush. My parents were in town and I came this side. I decided to come here to try to find my future because there is no future in Sudan.
Now safe at the Grom refugee camp, Mohammed says he often goes without food.
By God's grace, I found food from some people when they come here. Sometimes I find food. At times I just stay without food. Right now, I just eat anyhow. When I find people eating, I just put my hand and eat. That is how I find food.
A non-profit organization called Across is partnering with the UN Refugee Agency to support Sudanese refugees at the camp. Levi Moga, the program manager at Across, says the nonprofit has identified at least 5 unaccompanied minors or children separated from their families at the camp.
These 5 were given to caretakers' families who are going to be supported to take care of them. We have a team of protection staff who are providing psychosocial support counseling services and trauma healing. They always are available to talk to them, listen, and then provide them the counseling.
The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says the war has displaced at least 450,000 Sudanese children from their homes, with tens of thousands fleeing to neighboring countries. The agency says those children are being deprived of education and are at higher risk of exploitation and child marriage than children not displaced by conflict. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese with disabilities need livelihood support. Stay tuned for that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the funniest thing to ever happen to you?
I was thinking I can cross a gutter. Unfortunately, I found myself in the gutter and everybody was laughing.
The funniest thing to ever happen to me was when I fell down in the marketplace and people were laughing. It became funny to me because I just slipped.
A lot has happened to me, but what I remember, being with my family, discussing, they get to tell me funny stories that make me happy.
The funniest thing that has ever happened to me is moving from the house, picking a vehicle, realizing I don't have money on me. How embarrassing to realize there's nothing on me, just moving out like that.
Tried to like ask somebody for money and I tried to like fix something and it didn't work. Well, I was ashamed.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A female journalist in South Sudan says she's receiving death threats after covering an event in Juba. The station manager at Juba-based Advanced Youth Radio says her employee began receiving death threats 2 days ago from unknown callers. The reason for the threats is unclear. The Union of Journalists in South Sudan calls the threats unacceptable and says they are attacks on the freedom of expression. Demo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
25-year-old Diko Andrew, a journalist with Advanced Youth Radio, says she covered the launch of a new office for the South Sudan Artists Union. She says the event later turned violent due to internal wrangles. She says two unidentified men in plain clothes harassed her and threatened to kill her for showing up at the event.
They actually threatened me because I was doing a coverage of an event which we were invited for, and they were having their own wrangles regarding that launching of that office, mentioning that those people are not illegal in the office and they're not supposed to be doing that, and many stories that we don't know. But I just went there to do my job as a journalist, an entertainment journalist, to cover the event, which is was related to my work, and as well it was during my working hour.
Diko says she became frightened when the men said they would follow and kill her.
I had to be scared because, like, the tone itself that was I was hearing, even till now, I am hearing that I'm going to shoot you, anabodrabak in Arabic. And as well, the other person trying to tell me I'm coming to come after you one by one and I'm going to shut your radio. The tone itself, it can scare someone, not forgetting the face, how they looked towards me. So, like, till now, I still remember those words. I still, the faces always come to me, so it's really scary.
Joseph Nimaya, the station manager at Advanced Youth Radio, confirms the men also threatened to shut down the radio station.
As I settled in office, a few hours later, I received a call from someone within the artist union and asked me to come to their office and I should come along with this girl. Then I tried to establish what exactly is the issue. If there's something pertaining institutions, I told them we are both formal institutions. They should be able to address or write to me a formal letter or write to the management of Advance, a formal letter or a formal email, after which we'll pick up things from there. But I think they took things personal and the continuous threats.
Nimaya says the threats are intended to silence journalists, something he says the Union of Journalists of South Sudan should investigate. Patrick Oyet, chairperson of the union, says threatening media houses and journalists is unacceptable and an attack on press freedom.
Now we are seeing a new trend coming in where some people who we don't know are the ones who are threatening. They are not able to identify themselves, whether they are from an organized force, whether they are part of security organs, recognized one or not. But of course, they are threatening now. They don't want to show their faces where, you know, like if it is something official, we would expect them to even go to Advanced Youth Radio. Yeah. But then they never did that. So we are seeing a new trend now emerging of threats against journalists.
Oyet says his office is considering a legal action if the threats continue.
Union, when we heard of this, when this thing was reported to us, we sent our protection officer to go and investigate. And even when he tried to engage with this group, they were still threatening. So we decided that it was important to involve our lawyers to seek legal advice. And up to now, the lawyers are still working to see what needs to be done.
Despite the investigation by the Union of Journalists, the identities of the men making the threats remains unknown. It says there have been similar threats on journalists in the past, but in those cases, the perpetrators were known. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
P. People living with disabilities, including the war wounded in Unity State, are asking state officials and other agencies to help them find sources of livelihood, not just a handout. They say they're food insecure and, due to their disabilities, have a hard time finding work. VOA News' Lietnya Jok files from Bentiu.
William Ayanwen, a chairperson of the Union for Men Living with Disabilities, say hundreds of disabled people in South Sudan have no source of livelihood and they are suffering.
The people with disability, we are suffering a lot. We are surrounded by water. Here, the hunger is affecting them and they have no job. Previously, people used to go to bush to cut down the trees and sell. Now it is not there.
When say more than 2,000 people living with disability at an IDP camp in Bentiu are vulnerable, he say many of them traumatized by a fast war. South Sudan in Focus was unable to verify the number of people with disability living in IDP camp or the number of people with disability across Unity State. The head of the Union of Women Living with Disability in Unity State, Marisa Nyesieta, is urging the government and aid agency to provide skill training and start up a capital to people with disability so that they can open a small business to earn a living. Peter Guy Jal, a director in Unity State Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, say the state is unable to provide financial assistance to those with disability because it doesn't have the money. Jal say the ministry role is to provide psychological support and civic education to people with disability.
So the Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, they support the disabilities and they give the rights of disabilities people, and even they teach how to know the rights, to claim the right, and even to get the access to participate, to be equal to the rest of the people.
Jal note the state government has employed about 200 people with disability so that they can earn a living. Some Unity State residents say they are in dire need of artificial legs. The International Committee of the Red Cross ran a 3 physical rehabilitation center in Wau, Rumbek, and Juba. Ida Kamis, the ICRC public relations officer, encouraged the people in need of physical rehabilitation serve to visit any ICRC office for wheelchair, prosthesis, horses, or mobility aid.
All services are free of charge. If you needed to stay more than one day, you'll be offered accommodation, you'll be given food and a transport refund back home. Because we believe the time you came, you need to go home, you should be given a way of transporting you back to your home after the treatment. And the service users who already got the mobility services and need repair or replacement are highly encouraged to come to the nearest physical rehabilitation center on their own.
According to the World Health Organization and Lives of the World, an estimate of 250,000 people with disability reside in displacement camp in South Sudan. For BA News, I'm Liel Nyajwa in Bentiu, Unity State.
We'd love to hear what you think about issues in this broadcast. Here are some of this week's listener comments. And we begin with the South Sudan In Focus fan who says, "Hello, John Tanza and Biagio. I'm Deng Lual Majok, a youth activist residing in Juba. I would like to inform you that we have gone 3 days without drinking water in our area, Sherikat suburb, due to a lack of water supply by water tanker drivers who are on strike over a directive regulating the price of water supply to the residents." Another fan says, "Hello, John Tanzan Nabil Biagio. I am Peter Ajak Ayom, a civil society activist based in Bor Jongole. I really don't understand our leaders in this country. The SPLM-IG is preparing for elections, and the SPLM-IO is saying there will be no elections in 2024. This is a game of push and pull. And to me, there will be no free, fair, or credible elections that will be conducted. I am appealing to the regional blocs and international monitoring bodies to keep engaging our leaders to put the interests of their people first, and not just their own interests. Otherwise, this country will slide back into war." Samuel Ramon, EJ says, hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. I was very excited for the new budget for the year 2023-2024. But my only worry is the on and off depreciation of the South Sudanese pounds against the US dollar. This shall make the budget premature to reach the common citizens on the ground as expenditures. Tong Chun Yong Kwai from Juba, South Sudan says, hello, VOA. What's going on between Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area is not good. I need the government in Juba to disarm them before the election. Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba writes, if you are a good leader or rendering good services to the people who gave you power, nobody will come after you. The United Nations, ECOWAS, the African Union and the rest always act as if they don't know or get any intelligence about the bad ruling in the continent. There is no smoke without fire. It starts from within, which you people fail to resolve. And when actions are taken, then you come out to condemn. I am not in support of any sort of coup, but there are these East African countries that need one. I am tired of one man's rule for decades, and the world must know that democracy has failed in Africa. Getana Kai Khan in Cairo, Egypt says, population census, permanent constitution-making process, transitional justice process, conducting elections after the implementation of all the provisions of the peace agreement will lead us to peaceful, free and fair elections. And that's what all South Sudanese need, to vote for the leader, for a leader of their choice, but not voting at gunpoint. I don't know why we are rushing to elections when we aren't prepared for it. This listener says, hello, John Tanza and the VOA team. Thanks for doing your best as journalists. But the issue is that we South Sudanese always don't tell the facts about what is happening in our country. So it hinders peace. I am Lamela from Kejukeji. Thanks. James Roy Majok from Mayom County in Unity State writes, hi, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. I am appealing to Unity State Governor and his counterpart, the Honorable Governor of Warrap State, plus the two Honorable County Commissioners, the Honorable Commissioner of Mayom County, Major General John Bolmayak, and the Honorable Commissioner of Torale, to agree on lasting peace among Twitch community and Bull community. For the period of 4 months, several incidents have been happening between the two counties in the border of Mayom County and Torale County. Issues like cattle raiding and random killing of innocent civilians always take place. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep these comments coming. And keep your text and voice messages short, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number +1 202 258 3076. Tell us what you think. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a particular news story that you connected with. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa, and tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number again is +1 202 258 3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. And that's all we have for you this Friday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Gymnasia Africa and the song Riziki.
Ni kama usiku jamani.
We've been listening to Jamnazi Africa and the song Riziki. I am your host, Nabil Biagio, in Washington. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Sun.